WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. And it's our day of annual meeting. It is good to see you all here. Right? Now I'm going to expect it on all my pronouncements. I want to acknowledge this morning first that many of us are sad over the events of the last week, and some of us are not. And through human history, there have been terrible governments and less terrible governments. And the work of people of good faith, work of people of love, has always been the same. Always. We love God. We love our neighbors, we care for the poor, feed the hungry, set free the oppressed. So that doesn't change. And we are in this work together. So a few announcements. Our liturgists this morning, Herm and Deb Chudy. Our radio sponsors are Cliff and Jan Lawton, in memory of their son's 50th birthday. We have poinsettias for sale for Advent season. You can donate $25 per poinsettia in honor of or memory of someone that you love, and we'll use them to decorate in here. There are order forms in the scoop and also in the narthex. And because we have to pick them up before Advent, please get those into the office by November 24th. Wednesday, November 27th, that's the night before Thanksgiving, there will be an ecumenical Thanksgiving service at 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church. I think it's the first time this has happened for some time. Also, I'll be preaching. The St. Al's Community Thanksgiving Dinner is looking for some pies, so if you'd like to contribute pies, there is a sign-up sheet, and please have them to the church by Wednesday, the 27th, so you can bake in the morning and then come to a service in the evening. And Sunday, December 29th, 1 p.m. in the church, Yuletide concert, Old Befana. So details to come. But please put that on your calendars. Save the date. And now here our first UCC welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself, said Jesus. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community as we welcome and value all people. Whoever you are, However you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome as you are here at First UCC, Sauk City. And now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time, this holy space. Take a deep breath and let it out. You can close your eyes if that's comfortable or not. Let your body relax. Let all the worries and cares and anxieties of the world pass from you. God is with us. God is in us. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out peace. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out peace. Know that you are beloved. Please join me in the call to worship as written in your bulletin or on the screen. Boil down the purpose of all this living, follow the thread of all these questions. Uncover what's under all this grief and discover
love, 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 love.
The very heartbeat of God,
love, love sturdy and steadfast.
Love, heartbreaking and heart-opening.
Love as in we belong to each other.
Love as in we will let sorrow turn us towards compassion.
Love as in we will let compassion guide us toward wise action.
Love as in God is within each living thing.
Love as in God moves between us.
Love as in God is the possibility that stretches beyond us.
Oh, how we praise love, the pulse of the cosmos, the very rhythm of God.
Please stand if you are able for our first hymn, number 742, Gathering Here.
Strong.
Please join me in our prayer of unburdening. Gracious God, we say that you are our God, that where you go, we will go. Where you dwell, we will dwell. Your people will be our people. Whether Moabite, Black, undocumented, LGBT, poor, hungry, imprisoned, oppressed. Yet sometimes we forget that we are bound as one body in love of God, neighbor, and self. And hear God's promise. In the deep heart of God, there are no foreigners, for all are beloved. In the holy, there is only acceptance, for love is the language of God, the language of faith. Here in our lives, there are no divisions, for God dwells in each of us. Wherever we go, God will be with us. For which we all say,
thanks be to God.
Without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. If you are hungry, if you are curious, come and eat. Jesus' ministry was short. He spent a few years traveling, teaching, talking about love, God's love for women, for Samaritans, for pseudo-Phoenicians, for tax collectors, God's love for all. This was not a popular message. The powers that be did not want to hear that everyone matters. On his last night, the night he was betrayed, the night he was arrested, Jesus sat with his friends, sat with the people he had traveled with and taught, the people that he asked to continue his work. And he said to those friends, he said to us, when you sit at table, when you break bread, remember me. Remember what I taught. Remember what this table was like, where everyone was welcome. Remember how I washed your feet in service. Remember who you are. That you are my friends. You are my beloved. You are my people. And this mission is for you. Bless the bread. And he broke it. He took a cup of wine. And he blessed that, saying, I leave my blessing with you, my friends, my dear ones, my beloveds. This work is hard. And this work is for you. Love, accept, welcome, teach. tell others that they are beloved, and even more, show them that they are beloved. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour out your gifts, your blessing, your dynamic energy on this bread and wine. May all those who are fed at this table, at your table, receive the bread of life and the cup of love, be fed to do your work in this world, your work of love and peacemaking. In God's name we pray. Amen. Holy God, we thank you for so many blessings, for so much beauty and good in this world and in this community. We thank you for the chance to be fed at your table with the bread of life, the cup of love, Jesus' word, Jesus' teachings. May we become what we have eaten. Amen. And we have a choir anthem now. Now we have our kids' time. Do some of our kiddos want to come forward? Ugh. Good morning. Hi. There aren't very many today. There aren't very many of you up here today. I think it's because it's annual meeting. Yeah? That might be a little boring for kiddos. Also, perhaps for some grown-ups at times. But it's really important, because this is your church. It's not going to be your church someday. This is your church now. So I'm glad you're here. All right. Today, when you go to Sunday school, no Sunday school. So you won't go to Sunday school. Anyway, I am going to talk about the book of Ruth. Have you heard of Ruth? It's in the Old Testament. Ruth is an interesting little book. It's short. It's named after a woman. There's only a couple of those. And it's a really simple story. Ruth is a foreigner. She's a refugee. And she's a widow. And she's poor. There are all kinds of reasons that people wouldn't really like Ruth. But she's kind. It says over and over and over that she is kind and she is loving. So even though there were lots of reasons that people might not have liked her, she was loved. She mattered. Also, she became the great, 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 I don't know how many greats, so grandmother of Jesus, Ruth. All right. Shall we pray? Can hold hands if you want. You don't have to because they're your hands and you get to choose. I like to hold hands. Holy God, bless these kids. Bless all the children in our church, in our lives, in our hearts. May they grow in wisdom. May they grow in faith. May they grow in love of you, love of their neighbors, love of themselves. May they know that they are the church. And may they know how much kindness matters. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can go back and sit with your dad.
Hebrew Bible lesson is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband, Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? No. You then refrained from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This ends the reading.
Our gospel reading today is Mark 12, 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love God with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared ask him any questions." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Ruth is a lovely little book. It's perhaps one of my favorites. It begins, "In the days when the judges ruled." Another translation might be, "When the judges judged." This probably doesn't mean much to most of us. It did to the people of Israel. Judges is the seventh book in the Bible. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, then Judges. Genesis is creation, God's promise to Abraham, goes through the patriarch Joseph. Exodus, freedom from slavery in Egypt under Moses, and traveling to the land that God had promised. Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, their laws and codes. Joshua was the leader after Moses, and he led the people into the Holy Land. Story of conquest. So finally, at the end of Joshua, the promise that had been awaited for generations and generations, the children of Abraham have arrived in this promised land of milk and honey. And then comes the book of Judges. The narrative of Judges is repetitive. The people of Israel are unfaithful. Then they're oppressed by foreign forces. A successful military leader arises and frees them from their enemies. There's a little bit of period of peace, and then it happens again. Over and over and over. And it's almost monotonous. Except for it's also really weird. The behavior of these heroes, have to put air quotes, because the judges, they were questionable, immoral, brutal. The book is brutal, it's unrelenting. By verse 4 in Judges, 100,000 have been killed, and the king of the Canaanites had his thumbs and his big toes removed. Can't be a warrior without thumbs and big toes. And then it gets worse from there. The judges were a series of temporary chieftains. Wasn't a hereditary role. They just arose as leaders as needed. And the days when the judges ruled were nightmares. It was lawless and violent. It's a story of Israel's journey from triumph, finally, they're in the promised land, to evil. It's about breaking covenant over and over. Judges has some of the worst stories in the Bible. I'm sure everyone knows there's some terrible and weird stuff in there. A lot of it is right in Judges. Most of the appalling stuff from the Old Testament. It's a hard book. It happened in Judges. Israel is supposed to make a holy land of Canaan, and they didn't. They murdered and worshiped idols and raped and sacrificed children. They were proud and lustful and vengeful and cowardly, and there were idols. They were terrible. And the judges were every bit as bad as the people they were supposed to lead. And from the beginning of the book to the end, they get worse and worse. It's a book spilling with violence and terribleness. Ehud buries a knife in the fat belly of the king of the Canaanites and walks away calmly. Jael drives a tent peg through the forehead of Sisera and nails him to the ground. Gideon tortures 77 men. Samson married a Philistine, couldn't control himself, shacked up with a woman who tried to have him killed multiple occasions. One judge said that he didn't want to be the king, and then he named his son Abimelech, which means my father is the king. And Abimelech grew up and murdered all of his brothers so he could be the ruler. Jephthah swore that he would serve a burnt offering, whatever came first from his house when he returned from war, This was not a good oath. It turned out to be his daughter, his only child. It was an unnamed Levite who was threatened with violence and threw his concubine out to the crowd. She was assaulted. He found her dead in the morning, and in order to get armies together and avenge this, he cut her up and mailed her to the 12 tribes of Israel. The leaders were terrible. The people were terrible. Judges was terrible. It ends with the line, "There was no king in Israel at that time. Everyone did as they pleased." And then appears the book of Ruth. In the time of Judges. This book is located in different places in the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible. In the Christian Bible, it comes right after the book of Judges. Sort of chronologically. In the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, it's part of the writings. Chapter including Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, and Esther. These five books, the writings, are given special place because of their liturgical importance. The five are associated with Judaism's five main annual feasts. So every time there is these feasts come, one of these books is read in its entirety, along with parts of other books from the Torah, the first five books. So Ruth, the book of Ruth, is associated with Shavuot, which for us is Pentecost. Every year, the whole book of Ruth is read at the festival. And it is read with Exodus 19 and 20. That is the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Exodus is not a small, simple little book. Exodus is a complicated, big book with a lot of things happening. And Mount Sinai, big, dramatic, important things. In this excerpt, just these few chapters, there's thunder and lightning and smoky mountains and the earth trembles. Trumpet blasts. High drama. God appears in flames, and it's so terrifying that the people build a fence around Mount Sinai so that no one can approach and touch the mountain. If we were trying to film this, these chapters would take a lot of CGI, a lot of money, a lot of special effects. And it's read with Ruth. A little small story wouldn't take any budget at all. Just a few women. The male leadership dies in the first few lines. And it's a simple tale of hunger and bereavement and loss, becoming a refugee, a tale of racism, a story of kindness. And these two books are placed together every year in this holiday. Seems odd, right? They don't match. Except Ruth is something of a key to the book of Exodus, to the law. Exodus is ground-shaking times, big, important people doing really big, important things. And Ruth is not that at all. Little people who don't matter, doing small things. Except Except it turns out that matters too. Said Moabite. She's a Moabite, she's a widow, she's poor, she's a refugee. And Ruth transforms the world as well. We get the law in Exodus, and then Ruth tells us how to interpret the law, how the law can make the world better with kindness, generosity, love. Small people doing small, good things. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "It may be true that the law cannot change the heart, but it can restrain the heartless. It may be true that the law cannot make a man love me. Religion and education will have to do that, but it can restrain him from lynching me." Ruth? Ruth is about transforming the heart. It's not about the law. It's about love. Set in the time of Judges, Ruth is about keeping covenant. Judges emphasizes curse and violence, and Ruth emphasizes blessing and sanctification. Judges has all this self-interest and greed and selfishness, and Ruth, self-giving, self-sacrifice. Judges shows no kingship, no leadership. And Ruth, finally, we begin the line of kingship. In the story, as you heard, a man from Bethlehem in a time of famine. And surprise, there's a famine in the time of the judges. No one could have seen that coming. He goes with his wife, he goes with Naomi, and with his two sons to Moab. The boys find wives there. After all the men die, and we have heard before many times how vulnerable women, widows, are in Scripture. So Naomi decides to set out for her homeland. The daughters-in-law start with her, but she tells them, "Go home. I have nothing I can offer you. I am going back and hoping that a relative will have pity, will help me, but I am not going back to anything certain. No prospects, no possibilities." So Orpah returns back to Moab. And Ruth doesn't. Ruth is, as I said, a foreigner, an immigrant, a refugee, a woman, a widow. And this lovely little book focuses on faithfulness. She is heroic in her loving kindness and her determination to do the right thing no matter what. In every age, there are foreigners seen as threats and problems. In every age, there are those who are poor and have to live on the leftovers, the mercy of others. Naomi, Orpah, Ruth, they're nobodies. After their husbands die, they have nothing. They have no options. But even in the midst of suffering and loss and grief and want, Naomi's God is inclusive and expansive. Naomi thinks God has abandoned her. She changes her name. Not Naomi, Mara, which means bitterness. Orpah makes a reasonable decision. Reasonable decision to go home. It's not unloving or cowardly or selfish. It would have made sense. Instead of going to where she would be a foreigner and a refugee, as well as a poor widow, she would just go back to her family as a poor widow. But Ruth says, "Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people." These promises, these words make family. They're often used at weddings. And she is great-grandmother to King David. Ruth means beloved. It is a God of fierce inclusivity, a God of love. God is subtle here, not great miracles, just kindness, love that doesn't let us go. We know from history, from experience, from the Bible, that there are always bad times. And we also know that there is always kindness. There is always good. Amen. Right, our hymn is 476, "My Life Flows On in Endless Song." time to share prayers with God who knows and loves us in all things.
Considered a rough start, you know, the planting season had with all the rain and the spring, but we're thankful for a good harvest this year. And so also to remember the people from, you know, in several states, you know, from the hurricanes. You know, they're still trying to put their lives back together. And to give our prayers for them.
Share with the congregation a book that I've been reading, and it's really exceptional. It was loaned to me by Gary Schlender, and it's called Joy. It's a book of a dialogue.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.